Deacon Thomas Farr, and welcome back. This is Married and Loving It. This is a ministry, a show we put together to talk about marriage, to encourage folk in their marriage, and to talk to folk who've been married a while and have overcome some things. So that we might encourage marriage, because we know in a society that there's culture. Marriage has been redefined, it has been redefined. But we are doing these series of shows to try and get back to the biblical foundation of what marriage was and what it is and what it shall be in the future. Because no matter what they try and shape it and mold it into, God created it as a God institution, and there's some things that we have to be able to discuss and share. And also for those of you watching my show, and you'll see that your marriage, you may be going through some things. You may be 5 years in, 2 years in, you may be 15 years in, and you're still having these struggles. So we brought in some couples who've overcome those years and still are here, and still standing, so that you might be an encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to start with scripture, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. We're going to be reading from 1 John at chapter number 2, starting at verse number 15. And the word of God says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passed away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Lord God, we thank you, O God. We thank you for you sending your Son to die on the cross for our salvation. We thank you for reconciliation. We thank you for the power of your grace and mercy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Continue to watch over us. Continue to bless us. Make us better men, better women, better husbands, and better wives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bishop Tony Medley.
Bless you.
Good First day. Lady Kimberly.
Bless you.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for sharing with us and spending this time with us. We're going to talk about some stuff, and hopefully we can heal and reconcile some stuff with some folk.
Amen.
We're going to talk about y'all.
All right.
The wonderful job y'all been doing in your marriage. Amen. And amen. So let's begin at the beginning, Bishop. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My wife and I have been married 24 years.
Amen.
3 wonderful children.
Yes.
We pastor church, Deliverance Temple Ministries.
Amen.
Also oversee an international fellowship, Deliverance International Fellowship, and that's pretty much our life.
Amen.
Keeps us busy.
First Lady Kimberly.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
Amen. I am the wife of Bishop Tony E. Medley.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a mother, and I am a First Lady that thoroughly enjoys, amen, doing the work of the ministry. Have 3 wonderful children, as Bishop said, and 2 wonderful granddaughters.
All right.
So I'm just excited about that and continuing on with that.
Amen. That's good. That's glad to hear. I mean, because granddaughters is cool. I got grandsons.
Amen.
They keep pumping out sons. That's okay. That's okay.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Maybe we hook up. How old is your again? You gotta keep the bloodline. You know? That's the way it was done in the old days. They would hook up the grandparents, would hook them up.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going. Don't be going looking for nobody.
Amen. I'm sorry.
Amen. That's going to get me in trouble. But anyway, so we're going to talk about marriage. You know, we know the culture. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on. You know, we got same-sex marriage. We got everybody who can marry anything. You can call it marriage. Mm-hmm. We're redefining the family. Mm-hmm. But like I said, this show, we just want to talk a little bit, bring the godly example of marriage and to encourage folk.
Amen.
Because we, as we know, I know you know as pastors and leaders in the church, people sometimes in relationships struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a real test to their salvation sometimes. Mm-hmm. And to their and to that relationship. So let me tell you, so let's start with this. Let's go back. Let's go back to when y'all was young and in love, back in the day. Way back.
Right.
Y'all got married. Amen. So listen, y'all said 24 years, so y'all got married in 80, wait a minute, let me think, I gotta do the math. That was like 89, 90, something like that. 89. Okay, 89. Got it. All right, we got the math. 89. So let's talk about, let me ask you this. When y'all got married, were y'all both in the church? Were you both saved?
Actually, no. I was saved, but I was not living a fruitful Christian life. I was backslidden. I was running from God.
Amen.
My wife, on the other hand, she wasn't saved. So I was playing church.
Yes.
And made it necessary for her to play church with me. Mm. So that's where we were.
Amen. Amen. So so that's because we all start somewhere. Amen. I understand that. Because I didn't get saved until I was like 36 years old. So I got 35 years of stuff doing it my way. Yeah. This is who I am because I'm the man. Yeah. And then I got my wife, and she knew I was the man when we got married. I'm sorry. She's here, so I can say it.
All right. Amen.
But, amen. So let's talk about, those first 5 years, you know, those are the years where people say that things happen. It's something that, what would you like that you can share with the audience that you overcame those first 5 years that stand out now and you look back on it as, you know, it wasn't for God?
Yeah, you know, those first 5 years are definitely the most formative years. Mm-hmm. It took us that long just to get to know one another. Mm-hmm. Just really finding out how one another think, feelings, how we react to certain things. And just really, it took that long to really get to know and really just, work out all the kinks. It really took that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, those first 2 years, did you have kids?
Yes, yes. We had a ready-made family. You know, we got together, so that's good. And then we had two more. Yeah.
Amen. Because I believe that the person that you're dating is a whole lot different from the person that you married.
Amen.
And so when you have that covenant with God and you decide to get married, the situation becomes a whole lot different from going out on Friday nights, mm-hmm. hanging out, and then every day, it's an everyday lifestyle, mm-hmm. being with that person, learning their likes and their dislikes, and having children on top of that. So it's learning finances and learning cooking and budgeting and transportation. Wow. So it involves a lot because you don't think about those things when you're just dating. Mm-hmm. All you're about is having fun and you're in love. But when marriage comes,
and
the babies come.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
It puts you in a whole different. It takes your life to a whole different aspect of your relationship.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I don't want you to know, but your background. You both came from two parent homes, single parent homes.
I came from a two parent home.
Okay.
I came from a single parent home. All my parents were divorced.
Okay.
When I was about 6 years old, they got divorced. So I live with my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I was brought up by a very strong woman.
Okay.
And I became a very strong, independent woman.
Amen. Well, see, that's what I want to do. Because that's the battles we have now. Because,
you know,
we have single women, folk come from different backgrounds and different family structures.
Yeah.
And then when they try to come together, some of those issues is where the conflict and the stuff comes from.
Definitely so.
You know what I'm saying? And then that's one of the things. But we see that y'all made it through those 5 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all by the grace of God. When we look at our lives, what we definitely recommend to couples now is to get counseling before getting married.
Amen.
It's one of the things, that we do as counselors. We didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was only by the grace of God that we did make it through that, and thank God that we both did. I, committed, rededicated my life to Christ, and she gave her life to Christ, and that's really when, we received godly counsel. And that's really what got us through.
Amen.
That's really what got us through.
So y'all got saved, it was in that first five or after that?
Yeah, it was within that first five.
It was in the first five, so you came to church, and you started to understand what the Bible said about marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me ask you, Bishop, you have a church. How long do you recommend, how long do you do counseling for? If a couple comes to you, how long is your process?
Sure. There are five sessions that they have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the five sessions, one of them, I do a temperament exam where we find out, their different temperaments so they can find out what their strengths and weaknesses are, character-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can also better determine how can they merge those two temperaments? How can they, learn to get past them so that they don't get that shock when they actually get mad?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And first, do you participate with that? talking to the women? Or?
I do participate with women in that some of those processes. I try to let women understand that this is the man that you're going to have to submit yourself to for the rest of your life, and that you have to understand that as you're submitting yourself unto him, you're submitting yourself unto God.
Okay.
And is this what you're willing to do? That's my foundational truth.
Amen.
Are you willing to submit yourself to this man for the rest of your life and be pleasing unto him? Because we are made to be helpmeets to our husbands.
Yes.
And a lot of times we get away from that. We get away from that biblical truth. And that's important for women to understand.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, thank you. So we agree that, you know, counseling. Anyone out there, if you are married and you didn't have that premarital, if you're in the body of Christ, you need to run.
Amen.
You need to run to your pastor and say, Pastor, we need help getting this thing straight.
That's right.
Amen.
Because, you know, without counsel, you know, you try and work it out amongst yourselves. If you're already in it, it's kind of hard.
Right.
Because when people,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all know when our mind is set for something, it's trying to, you know, I'm not listening to what they got to say because they don't know no better.
And in addition to running for that, you know, getting that premarital counseling, having regular counseling is so important.
Yes.
With couples, with those who are married, because you know, a lot of times when we have people come in, the situation is so dire by the time they come and see us that it really takes all of God to really come in and work that thing out. So, you know, it's better to, it's kind of like, you know, having maintenance on your marriage, you know, taking that time to get that counseling. I think it's important.
Okay, so don't wait.
Right.
You should, well, you know, to do, yeah, but I mean, I was trying to think of something. You know, I can't think of talking the same time. You know, I'm older now. I got grandchildren.
I'm with you.
Because, you know, they don't let me talk all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right about the counseling. Is that something, especially in the body of Christ, that we need to do so that we can, you know, because we have to check people's order.
Right.
We have to check where they at.
Right.
Because just because, you know, my thing is, Sunday morning is not a good judge of anybody's
role.
No.
Because everybody takes a shower, puts on clean clothes, and comes to church.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, are we in a consistent, because that, to me, is when we talk about the fellowship, we need to be involved with folks' lives a little bit too, so we can head off some of this stuff.
Amen.
Sure. You know, a lot of the struggles. And as I say to folk watching, you have to know that you have to get involved with God and get the help before you get to the point.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right. Amen.
So let's jump fast forward a little bit. We're going 10 years in now.
Okay.
10 years in.
All right.
We're 10 years in. How's it going?
Good. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, my wife and I have been talking about is, you know, I was very young. I was 18, 19 when we got married. And so when you get married young like that, you change.
Yes.
You start finding out, when you get older, you start finding out, maybe your aspirations change, maybe your goals change, you know, you're maturing as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for us at that 10-year point, and a lot of couples probably get that, you really are starting to get to know each other again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, because you're growing. And I think at that point was so, and I know we'll probably, you know, get into this a little bit more later on, but really being committed to marriage, you know, is paramount. Because you got to stick through that process, because you see that's when a lot of people end up getting divorced.
Mm-hmm. That 10-year adolescent stage, I like to call it adolescent marriage,
because
the stuff you was doing at 12, you can't do now.
That's right.
So
that's right.
When, just because you made it 12 years, you really ain't doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to discourage folks either.
Amen.
So you made it to 10 and 12.
Keep going.
Keep on rolling. Keep on rolling. You know, you're going to be legal soon.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Amen. Don't give up.
Yeah.
But that, you're right. That because we all know as we grow, like you said, the things we see, the way we think changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just by the natural maturity of what's going on with
exactly.
us. And that's where we have to struggle, because we have to also give our spouses,
yes.
more even ourselves, but our spouses.
Yeah.
We have to make room that they're going to grow.
Exactly.
Because that sister, that wonderful woman you married, that ain't who you're going to end up with.
Right.
I hate to tell you this.
Uh-oh.
I hate to say it, but
she's different. And thank God she's different. Because if she's doing good, like my wife, if she's doing stuff she was doing when we met, I'd be hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. I can't do that no more.
And it's exciting, you know, just seeing it as that is exciting. Go along for the ride.
That's right. You're older now. Stuff going. It's going to be, it's going to get better. You don't want, like you said about the clubbing and all that. Mm-hmm. I need a nap.
Right.
I got to be in bed by 10:30. Come on. Right. It's because I met, it's because we used to hang out all the time. Right. No, I'm just. But I mean, this is some of the stuff folk forget when it comes to marriage, and they don't really talk about it. And like you said, the premarital counseling and the counseling on the way.
Yes, yes.
I think we, you know, we agree that that's very something important that needs to be, you know, always touched upon.
Amen.
So let's go. Let's go. That was 10. Mm-hmm. How old are your kids now? You have three. They were.
Well, you have to answer that question a lot better than I can.
We have a daughter that's 26. Okay. Another daughter that's 22, and a son that's 21.
Okay, so they're all in their adolescence when you're 10, 15 years. So they was. So now we got the kids.
Right.
We got the kids who think they got opinions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about the kid trying to manipulate y'all between the two of y'all. See, I know I've been there, brother. And that's something, again, this is another issue when it comes to these kids. They seem like they're pulling the marriage apart.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be the fruit of the marriage. But I'm going to let y'all share.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you overcome? Well, how did you survive those years?
Survival. You know, really just setting the precedent before, you know, talking about what we're one. Mm-hmm. So what's our vision for this family? Mm-hmm. You know, what do we want to do? And then once we write that, you know, the Bible tells us to write the vision and make it plain so those that read it can run thereby. So for us, writing that vision for our family, that way, the children, they really had no other choice but to run by that vision that we established, you know, and then just sticking to that. And so, you know, that when we set up certain questions, you know, when you come to mom, did you talk to your dad? When you come to your dad, did you talk to your mom? You know, making sure that, you know, that game isn't allowed to be played. You know, there was a few times they won the game, but it was a lot fewer than,
But see, that's why when we look at marriage and we talk about it, is why we need two. We need a husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need a father and a mother.
Yeah.
And the two are not interchangeable.
Right.
I know this is where I get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, though. I'm with you.
You know, it's not interchangeable, and you need that so that we can have a balance, and we would have balance in, you know, in our children and raising them up.
Amen.
You know, because the stuff that goes on in the culture, again, why we need marriage. If we have two committed adults in a marriage, they can help. They're helping to shape the mold of the next generation of children.
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
And they understand that, you know, there's boundaries and everything, and they learn how to take correction. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things we have today is you can't tell kids now.
Yeah. That's right.
And it goes and it filters all the way out the culture. It starts in schools and then it filters all the way out.
That's right.
You know, and we thank God for marriages that they're trying to survive and work that out.
Amen.
But I see it just say y'all were in agreement. So it was y'all against the kids.
It was us against the kids.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll scratch that one.
Establish a united front.
Hey, there you go. Thank you. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we have first ladies.
Thank you.
To fix up that stuff that way we put it. Amen. That's right. Thank you. Establish a united front.
Yes. Yeah. Now, would he and I sometimes have discussions later on about a particular subject when it came to the children? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think it was very important that we not allow the children to see us, you know, disagreeing in front of them.
Right. Amen.
And so we had set a rule that, you know, we would discuss things later on behind closed doors if there was something that we were having, issue or something about, we would discuss those things, but never allow the children to see it.
Yeah, amen. And it was important because they could sense that, you know, we'll try to use that as a way in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's good for now, my young couples, my people watching. Mm-hmm. You have to, what the bishop, his wife just said, y'all going to disagree, but let's not do it in front of the kids.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And for that, I'm going to throw this in here where I always get in trouble again. Your kids need a little time to go to bed. You know what I'm saying? You can't have kids walking around 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I mean, these are the little things.
Yes.
These are the little foxes. Your children, you have to set boundaries for your children so y'all can have that time to straighten out the situation.
Amen.
Because mm-hmm. I know me and my wife, we have three, and we have, you know, we got 30, 27, and 19. Mm-hmm. And I can remember back in those times, we had to discuss stuff, and we had to make sure they, yeah. First of all, we didn't scream right. throughout the whole house.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
If you're having a discussion and the whole house can hear right. it, it's not a discussion.
Whole house, neighbors, and everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. So we need to understand that. We need yeah. to bring it, you need to bring it down, and then the kids, they got it, they're in their bedtime, and then you all sit down and discuss it. And then again, you come back with, first of all, you said, the united front.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
So, I mean, because folk watching, you know, I want you to, we need to take this in, mm-hmm. this wisdom in, because we know these are the things that's going to come at you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I believe mm-hmm. me. These are the things that's going to come.
For sure.
Amen. So now, we got that. We got through the kids. They're still alive and good and everything, and healthy. So we're going to jump. Well, you've been 24. So now, we are now where you at. You know, you were 20 years. You look back on all the things that gone on. What piece of advice, I want each of you to answer this. Mm-hmm. If a young couple today comes to you, you know, let me change the scenario. A young couple comes to you now and say they've been living together a year. How would you respond to that? Mm-hmm. They say they've been together a year, living together a year, mm-hmm. and now they talk about getting married. Mm-hmm. How would you approach them?
Sure. You know, one of the things, not only did my wife and I talk about, but we teach, mm-hmm. is the importance of being not just, you know, being in love is wonderful. You need that. It's a great beginning. But you also have to be committed to the institution of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, understanding that, this is God ordained. He didn't ordain us to shack up. He didn't. Ordain us to live together outside of marriage. So the marriage is not just for the husband and wife, mm-hmm. But your marriage in and of itself becomes a witness.
Amen. You
know, it first becomes a witness at home. It becomes a witness to your children of what God expects and how we should live. And then your marriage also becomes a witness to your community, which, you know, of course, includes your church as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just talking to them about that, you know, what do you want to do to glorify God in this relationship? Is it your goal? If you're a Christian, you need to consider that, mm-hmm. to see the importance of the institution.
Amen. And I believe that the marriage, it brings forth a totally different aspect as to just living together. Mm-hmm. Because now you have stood before God, and you have said to God, this is the vow that I'm making to love, to honor, and to cherish this person in God's sight. So then it presents a different aspect to God. Now he's able to bless this, because he's not going to bless, I believe, according to scripture, that mm-hmm. he's not going to bless two people living together outside of wedlock, because that's not what he ordained from the beginning. So once we come to God and we make that vow to him, mm-hmm. that he's able to come in and bless and make whatever crooked road straight, and he's able to be able to, and his Holy Spirit is able to come in. And so I would tell a young couple, if you are living together, first of all, stop living together.
Okay.
Secondly, go to counseling, get marital counseling, get that premarital counseling to know that this is what you want to do. And third, if once you find out you want to be with this person for the rest of your life, get married.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, get married. Mm-hmm. And then show your God, your community, and your family that you have made that commitment that I'm going to present myself unto God. I'm going to live whole. I'm going to live for God. And I'm not going to only do that, but I'm going to love my mate the way God intends us to love our mates.
Because, you know, Brother Paul, one of the unique things that we deal with in counseling is that a lot of times people do come wanting counseling and they're living together, they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things we have to tell them is that, you know, I can't counsel you like you're married. It's not going to work.
Amen.
I can't give you these kingdom principles
right.
In an ungodly situation and you to expect they're going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
That covering doesn't come unless you made that agreement, that covenant relationship first with God.
Amen.
That you're going to live together in holy matrimony.
Amen.
And so that becomes a very important question for them. You know, where are you trying to go? So until you get there, we're just doing premarital counseling, which is a whole different approach.
Okay. Amen.
Well, I can say you're just in a relationship right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you haven't mm-hmm. distinguished between, like you said before, the dating, mm-hmm. and now we're committed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that, just made that up.
All right.
Dating and committed. I'll be ready to preach soon. Right? Yeah. I'll be preaching soon. Amen. So, okay, well, amen. I like that, because that's advice, you know, we hope our audience is listening and hearing, especially our young people, because, again, what you were saying, being an example to the community. Mm-hmm. There's young folk in the church, there's young folk in your community who's watching and seeing.
Yeah.
Because they're going to come up, and they're going to get to that age where they're going to make, you know, these decisions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we know that, you know, sometimes, you know, folks struggle with stuff because of what they was raised in, and trying to break out of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, well, here we go. Yeah. We have, because even today, when we have single parents raising children, they don't think, they're in their lives, they don't think they need a spouse mm-hmm. or a mate because of the way they were raised. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, is the real battle. And that's where married couple, godly church couples need to be able to show their marriages. Because we're dealing with a generation who just don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, before I have found, you know, in counseling that's usually a surface comment or response.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, when you're dealing with those single parent situations,
mm-hmm.
They may say that as a defense. But when I'm in that closed door conference counseling with mm-hmm. them, and you really talking to them, they find out that you do need that male and female presence there. To raise a child. You know, we understand the unique situations out there, but and a mother can make up as best she can, a father can make up as best he can if he's a single mm-hmm. parent. However, it's challenging. Something is missing in that child's mm-hmm. life
mm-hmm.
if you don't have that there. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And they'll be honest with their struggle. So, mm-hmm. you know, when they say it, it's usually just a cover-up response.
Amen.
Yeah, I probably get some letters and emails about that one.
Mm-hmm. We got to stand for something.
Amen.
If we're going to go down, we might as well stand for something. Amen. We're going down anyway.
Amen. Amen.
But you're right. It's an emotional thing. Mm-hmm. It's a pride thing. And but we say that's one of the benefits of marriage.
Amen.
The children. Raising the children up, knowing the balance between masculine, feminine love, mm-hmm. father, mother roles. And yes. that's what marriage does. That's mm-hmm. what marriage is there
Amen.
For.
Amen.
Amen. First lady, you wanted to add something to that?
I just want to say that it's all about the, and I think we had touched on it earlier, it's about that example. A young lady will know how to be a wife if she sees somebody operating in that capacity. And a man will know how to be a husband if he sees someone operating in the capacity of a husband. But if you don't have that example, it's difficult sometimes to know how to operate in that role. So that's important that we do have those examples.
Yeah.
And I think that marriage, that's one of the benefits of marriage as being an example.
Oh, yeah. And let me dig my hole a little bit deeper here. I'll get even more of those emails for this. You know, but when you're looking at, when you look at young men being effeminate or, young women being the opposite, you know, when you really dig into that, you see a lot of times that it's because that opposite was missing. It was really missing.
Mm,
So a lot of times when you're dealing with a feminine young man, that's all he was around was young women.
Yeah.
You know, that thing doesn't just naturally just come on you.
No, you hate
it. You know, you're surrounded. And
Bishop, I'm with you because I got in trouble for this
mm-hmm.
back in the day because, no, I'm saying. You're right. Mm-hmm. As a man, I see it in young boy, but, you know, back I wouldn't always have the cool and smooth guy that I am today.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call these young guys out and say, you know what, you know it. Sometimes it's heartbreaking. You see it, but then you understand that as they go out in the world
mm-hmm.
and they get out their mother's house,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have a lot of grief for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that. And then when you're just saying the other way too, it's again, it's knowing balances, having these balances in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this again, we're saying. This is the benefit of marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In a home
mm-hmm.
with a husband, father and mother, we see the roles and we see the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we even have, we have role models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, my father, you know, okay now, because, well, see, we're going to go against the grain again. because you know what they say about homosexuality, but I'm raising my son. There's some stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm working with him.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not going to go to the extreme because we know we have folk, their children come out and they get all out of their minds mm-hmm. and stuff. But again, it's what you're going to do. You love your child and you want to shape and mold them in a way. This is, and I put this out there as for Christians and non-Christians. You know, it's, you're missing something. Yeah. If you don't have both parents. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be careful. I know out there right now there are going to be some, you know, some people raising children by themselves that mm-hmm. it wasn't a matter of choice for them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe,
right.
You know, maybe their you know, the husband passed or wife passed
yes.
or just what have you, a lot mm-hmm. of life things. So, and the grace of God can overcome. Mm-hmm. But let's not hand over
okay.
our children right. to the enemy. Let's mm-hmm. not, let's not hand them over. If we've been given the right circumstances to be able to do it, let's hold on to that foundation because, you know, that family is really, it's really the substratum of the earth. Everything is built upon that. Yeah. That's the foundation.
Amen.
But, you know, in those isolated situations, the grace of God can prevail.
Thank God can.
Amen.
God
can.
And especially if you're in the church. If Amen. You're in the church, allow the body of Christ to come alongside you.
Amen. Amen.
So you have to allow it because you know, you come to church and then you know the deacon says something to your son and you're ready to, you know, you're ready to take the deacon on. I mean, I've been in situations, you know, I said, Pastor, that sister thinks she can take me.
Right.
You know, but we, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's another part of it. And even on the other side too, you know, because we have, because the way we are in the culture now, we do have fathers who are single and raising their children.
Yes.
Allow, you know, some things to come, put some, I say, I know we talk about marriage, but this is also because it's family stuff,
mm-hmm.
that we need to allow some other influences to come into your child's life that's going to help.
Yes. Yeah.
Because awesome. You got to remember, our goal here is to have wise, well-adjusted, balanced creations.
Right, yes. right, right.
Children.
Yeah.
So then we can send them out mm-hmm. into the society, into the world.
Yeah, they can be assets, yeah. But you're right, and they're inundated with negative influence,
yes.
you know, all day. And, you know, whether it's, you know, sad to say, a lot of times in schools,
yes.
You know, in the community, mm-hmm. you know, we're in the city on the corner. I mean, it's a lot of different. And sometimes not just on the corner. I mean, you can be in the deepest part of the country, and it's family members.
Oh yeah.
So, negative influence is out there waiting.
Yeah, it's all negative. But we just trying to say, but what we want to stand on is marriage, mm-hmm. husband and wife committed. To produce a family and children
yeah.
who are well adjusted and know the God,
yeah.
know the wisdom of God,
yeah.
know who God is in their lives, and we raise a family to be productive
Amen.
And fruitful.
Amen.
That's all God wants from us, and we hit by His grace and His Holy Spirit, we can get there.
Praise God.
But as we we're going to pull back to what we're talking about here, we talk about couples,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about men and women, and again, if you're watching this show, we hope that this is encourages you to seek out.
Mm-hmm.
Counselors, seek out help. Come to the bishop. Come to your pastor. You know, don't let things fester.
Yes,
don't let
yes.
things just run away.
Amen.
It was like, you know, we talked to you all a little bit. There was some stuff in the beginning that we was able to overcome.
Amen.
You know, yes, and yes. that's our real reason why we do this is to let us know. They're here 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just get here by not taking on some stuff.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Because I know that this, you know, there's stuff in our marriages and in our lives that can take the one to pull us apart and bring friction.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things, you know, getting to 24 years and really from that 15 on, really being committed to keeping the fire alive.
Amen.
You know, mm-hmm. keeping the flame going. Because, you know, you can get to a point of you with someone so long mm-hmm. that you can take them for granted.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. you just get comfortable, you get complacent, mm-hmm. you know, you don't really think you have to do anything to, you know, to really
right.
deserve that person's
she
love.
She ain't going nowhere.
Right, right.
Where's she going to go?
Right.
No, I'm sorry.
So, you know, you gotta do things. You can't just, you know, think that, you know, I probably get in trouble with this one again, too, but, you know, this is just what I believe. You know, you got to have date time. You got to have dance time. You got to have candlelight time. You know, you can't get so religious that you can't do those things.
Because that's right.
I just believe that it's not in the will of God for us to be so that we take, you know, Jesus came that we can have life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And have that life more abundantly, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so you need that in a marriage, you know, where even when it comes to, you know, being holy. So many times you see in the body of Christ, they surmise holiness to how a person dresses and how they looks.
You yes, know. Yes, sir, but, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. So when really holiness is a spiritual condition. Yes, it's where mm-hmm. it starts on the inside. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to look. Forgive me. You don't have to, you know, if you're with your husband and you're with your wife, mm-hmm. you know, leave. Stop covering everything up when you're at home. You have to keep the intimacy.
Oh,
you have to,
right,
have
right,
to keep
right.
things exciting. You know, you've got to. I'm trying to be careful with my words here, Brother Farmer.
This is free TV, by the way.
I'm sorry.
You know what? Come to Bishop's Camp Marriage Couples Ministry, and we can get into the details. But, you know, y'all got married. Okay, let's put it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're married, when you go to bed at night, it's undefiled. So if it's undefiled, I'm sorry, I'm shouting.
Sorry.
My sound person's over here. I'm shouting. I'm sorry.
You're all the way down.
Oh, okay.
You are so down.
Amen.
You know, I had to edit this part out. You're not supposed to talk. You're supposed to be behind the thing, not talking.
That's all right.
All right. Okay, where was we at?
Undefiled.
Undefiled. So, you know, we say we're undefiled, but you're right about the intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep the intimacy in our marriage.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about this before. We're maturing.
Mm-hmm.
The longer we're together, we should grow closer,
yeah.
not farther.
That's right.
There should be less space between it. We know the Bible says leave and cleave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as we, the longer we marry, we should be more closer.
Mm-hmm.
We should be cleaving
that's
more,
right.
not letting stuff pull us apart.
Yeah. Amen.
Because we talked about the kids. I mean, we I know this. You know, we have people who, after their kids are grown,
emptiness and
they don't even know who each other is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They looking around, you know, they walk around the house looking for the kids, something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the kids are gone now,
right.
and now they don't know what to do with each other.
Right. Right.
But if you're doing this over the years, and you're taking, like you said, the time out,
mm-hmm.
dating, these are the things that's going to maintain you,
yeah.
they're going to keep you.
Yeah.
And you will enjoy that time when the children are gone.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you won't look for the children to fill that empty space, but you will already have established a relationship and rapport with your mate, with
mm-hmm.
your spouse, that it'll be just like, woohoo, you know,
yeah.
our
kids and
all.
Oh,
question
number. Oh, Lord. Okay, we're coming back right here. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is, right, we want to bring that sound back to marriage. We want that, and you need that.
Amen.
We're going to call it going back to the garden.
There you go.
Because remember, in the beginning, it was only Adam and Eve.
That's right.
Wasn't no Cain, Abel, and the issues
right.
that came along with them children.
Mm-hmm.
It was Adam and Eve, and we want to get there. We're going to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
just like we're going to be redeemed and be in the presence of Christ,
mm-hmm.
all renewed.
Yeah.
The part of that is getting back to the garden.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Because that's opportunity too. Because now that's a whole new life ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I think with marriage, we have to look. We have to have a like you said before, a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going?
Because
mm-hmm. right now, our people in the audience don't look at where your marriage is today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Set a vision. Look to the horizon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or where you want your marriage to be, even if it's in trouble.
That's
yeah.
good. Yeah.
yeah.
Even if it's in trouble, you know, take the wisdom you're hearing here. The wisdom you should be able to hear at your church and
mm-hmm.
look to where you want to get to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we shared. I mean, there were struggles. There's going to be struggles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let me tell you
yeah.
that you get married and everything going to get better.
Yeah. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't say probably the most, really the most important thing, and I'm sure my wife would agree with me, marriage,
mm-hmm.
is communication.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got to keep that line open because that communication is going to always be under attack. It's so important that, you know, the scripture even teaches us to, you know, get that communication back open even before you go to sleep. It's that
mm-hmm.
important.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that communication is not just talking about what we're going to get for groceries or, you know, what we're going to get a new car or whatever that case may be, but, you know, talking through your issues.
Mm-hmm.
talking through the things that, and being willing, you know, and not just communicating, but I don't know, a word that my wife likes to use is communicating effectively.
Okay.
You know, where you're really listening. Because one of the things that happens is in relationships, they, you know, you start talking at each other, not to each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, sir.
You know, so really taking the time to, even if you don't like, one of the things that we've committed to, if I don't like what she say, mm-hmm. I still have to listen to it.
Yes, you do, mm-hmm. yes.
I got to process it. Because there's something in there that I need, I really need to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then the reciprocation comes, you know. So just really, you know, hearing each other out. And I believe that listening is more important than really anything that you might ever have to say.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good because, you know, you're right. Because as husbands, hey, I used to I used to have struggles listening to my wife mm-hmm. than I used to be a husband. But I mean, I was that type of guy,
yeah.
And as men, I know we need to, you know, this is our wife, mm-hmm. and we need to be able to listen to what she's mm-hmm. saying and hear, because mm-hmm. we can know what's going on with our wife mm-hmm. if we will listen to her, mm-hmm. regardless, mm-hmm. even if she's throwing dishes at us or something, just mm-hmm. duck and hear what she's screaming about mm-hmm. because she's saying it. I mean, I'm not saying for you sisters to be throwing stuff at mm-hmm. brothers, but.
But I'm not leaving my brothers out too. I mean, the wife got to listen to her husband too.
Yes, she does. Yeah, yeah.
You got to share that.
You got to share. It's got to be a two-way communication. Yeah. And like you were saying, you have to have a mutual mm-hmm. goal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That we're gonna work through this thing. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, in the series I've been doing and the couples I've talked to. And you also, you know, I appreciate y'all coming. But it's you have to be on the same page, going the same way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times what we call it is a heated, if you're going to have a heated fellowship. Mm. And so a lot of times what we'll do, as opposed to being in the house, mm-hmm. we may go out somewhere and okay. sit in a restaurant, just get a cup of coffee. There might be couples that you know you can't afford to go out for dinner, but you might can go get a cup of coffee yes. at Denny's. And right. then that way, you know, you're out in public and you're not at home throwing pots and pans and screaming mm-hmm. at each other.
Right.
You're going to be a little bit more civil with your heated discussion. Sitting out, you know, having a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And so you can have those discussions in a public place sometimes, and then that way you're in like a neutral environment. Because when you're at home sometimes, it's easy to start raising your voice and, you know, really getting upset and really just taking it to a whole other level.
Yeah.
But if you're out, you're more cognizant of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're able to hear that person a little better, as opposed to as soon as your spouse says something, now you want to react. Because mm-hmm. that's one of the problems, I believe, that as women we want to just react immediately mm-hmm. to what's being said to us.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. You're at home. Because like, you can't stay with me, right? So,
mm-mm.
but and that works so mm-hmm. well for us, and I think it will for most people. But the people, there are a few people that won't work for it. It's a whole other council system
yes, sir. That we need to have.
Right. Yeah, all right. Come talk to the bishop. Talk to your pastor first.
Right.
Because if the people in Denny call the cops on you,
right.
you know, Social Service will get your kid.
Yeah. Right.
So
you don't go out.
Right. Take the wisdom within, you know, that y'all agree.
Yeah.
We're not going to get arrested.
Right.
We're going
right.
to go out here. And exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
but this is the wisdom we're trying to share. There's different ways to handle different
Amen.
Circumstances.
For sure.
And you have to be open to it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to accept wisdom. Because again, if you're not willing to listen to nobody telling you nothing,
yeah.
you're not going to fix your marriage.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, another thing we found, even at home when you are having those conversations, you know, going back to getting to know one another. You know, for instance, you know, my wife would know, you know, a lot of times that in her field of work, she worked with, you know, young children.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that, you know, verbal stimulation during the day, she didn't get a lot of that. Me, in the you know, course of work, you know, pastoring and whatnot, I'm talking to people all day long. So, and usually, you know, dealing with a lot of, you know, people's life issues.
Yes.
So when I would get home, I needed some time to deprogram. I needed some time to wind down
okay.
and you know, release myself of those things that I had carried during the day. So she had to recognize that. So she couldn't come at me with a discussion as soon as I walked in
yes,
because I wasn't
yes.
going to respond very well.
Amen.
And so that getting to know, and so that might not always be the husband. You know, that sometimes that might be a different role depending on how your family is made up.
Yes, sir.
So it's very important to, you know, understand one another in that too, so that you can have a healthy conversation. You know, understand, you know, does your spouse conversate with you better if they got a nice cup of coffee in front of them, or maybe after they've taken a bubble bath, whatever the case may be? Mm-hmm. You know, those little things are really great investments in your marriage.
Amen. Yeah. And then again,
go ahead, first lady.
I was just going to, you have to be able to even to discern, it's discernment, discerning, you know, your spouse, learning your spouse. Mm-hmm. And just like we study the Bible, we have to be able to study our spouses so we'll know what they like and what they don't like and how to approach them. And that's one of the investments that people should make. I think a lot of times we don't make those investments. Mm-hmm. So what happens when we don't make those investments, we don't get any return back on it. So if you want to get a return back on your marriage, you have to invest in it and make it prosperous.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's great.
Amen. Well, we're running out of time for this segment. Bishop, sir, I appreciate you, First Lady. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking time out and coming and sharing with the audience. Share with our audience, tell them about your ministry, your address, service times, phone number, website, all that stuff, so people can call you up, because you might have stirred something and they, you know, they might need some help.
All right.
Or they might want to send you a message about what you said.
I know, right? Amen. Well, we pastor Deliverance Temple Ministries, located on 3300 Glen Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. The zip code is 21215. Our Sunday worship starts at 11 a.m. Sunday school starts at 10. Our website is www.dtmonline.org. You can actually go, if you are looking for counseling, you can actually set counseling sessions through our website. So again, it's www.dtmonline.org. And we also have an international fellowship. So we have several pastors under us in our fellowship as well. And, you know, welcome others. Because, and I make that plug, Brother Farm, because there may be pastors. We realize that there are people that are leading and struggling in their
yes,
marriage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so, you know, if you don't have that covering, pastors, you need a covering. And if you're out there being a Lone Ranger and you're struggling, please look us up, and we'll be there to support you.
Amen. I say thank you for coming. This has been Married and Loving It, and with Bishop Tony Medley and First Lady Kimberly Medley. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You can contact me at rejoicetv@gmail.com or give me a call at 443-591-3504. God bless you.